I got, yes, we good? I'm going to go, I think I'm going to go to a rodeo. I need to go to, I heard that Weld County has a junior rodeo over in Keensburg on August 7th through the 10th. And I'm like, you know, it's either go a tractor pull or a rodeo. I'm going to do something that has mechanic or horsepower. You know, that's just how it's going to be. The Sabbath, where did it come from? Where did it go? You guys ever heard of the Sabbath? Let me ask you a question. You know, that's a time of rest. Is your life so busy that you feel like you're kind of on a treadmill, right? It's just so busy. You don't even have room for you, let alone your family, let alone God, even still. Do you ever wonder what the Sabbath really is and how you're supposed to keep it in, quote, 2025? How can we find rest when our schedule is so busy with work, with family, with technology, never seeming to stop? Right? That can be a challenging time, can't it? I mean, here, we're yoked to stuff 24/7. Do you know what yoking is? Anybody? That's not a comedian talking about a really good yoke, right? Kid. Yeah, it's two oxen, right? Come up here. Come up here. Stand right. When do you stand here? When do you stand here? Hurry. Hustle means run. I don't know why I'm always in trouble, but whatever. Bend over a little bit.
No.
Okay, just do it. I'm a yoke. I'm a yoke, and these are two oxen, right? They usually take one oxen who is younger and yoke it to one that's older, right? What happens when the younger gets with the older? Thank you, man. Give him applause. They had
he
to.
Gets stronger.
Yeah. You know what? The younger learns from the older. You know what happens to the older one? He gets the inspiration of the younger one. You understand how that works? That's a yoke. And we're yoked to stuff. I mean, there's days I'm yoked to this, right? You know what I usually do on Monday morning? On these, you know what I do? I watch comedy. I watch Dry Bar. That's kind of the day off. I try to take a day off. I try not to do any of the church business on Monday so I can get restored. You know, I need to have some breath and room. Hey, by the way, if not, if a pastor in his life and his bride did everything that the church expected of them, the amount of time they would have to themselves and each other would be with just that time together, personal study time, personal exercise time, just life in general, do things at their own home, it'd be about 15 minutes a week available to one. That's the expectation that Christendom in general puts on a pastor. Unfair, not happening. We've guarded against that from day one. We work because we like to work, and we're going to talk about some of that as well. But I'll tell you something, that yoke to the 24/7 grind, can you think about the Israelites when they were in Egypt? Think about this, your culture of people, in this case the Israelites, they weren't heavy, they were light. 400 years, they had to work 7 days a week for the government, sun up to sundown. Stop. I want you to think about that. Sun up to sundown. How do you like your days off? How do you like your vacation time? You know, I didn't come in until like the early 1900s. Vacation wasn't a thing anywhere, said anybody ever. Did you know that? When I worked in the oil field as a young man, when all of this was up here, don't laugh too hard. We worked 24/7. We never had a day off. We never had vacation. I personally know what that's like to have to work like that. And I'll tell you, it made a lot of money. There's times that I would go out and work my shift and the next guy would come in because they never got days off. I said, hey, why don't you got a lunch? You guys want to take a day off, any four of you? I said, here, I'll go with him. You ride with my crew home. Give me your lunch. So he'd give me a sandwich or his burrito or whatever, and I'd work his shift. Well, I'm already 8, and 8 is what? 16. And then another group would come in. I'm like, hey, and you guys wanted, and everybody, always there was somebody wanted a day off. Give me your lunch. I'd take their lunch. I'd work that. And when my guys would come in, I'd save a little bit left over, and I'd have my food for the next day. So I'd work 32-hour shifts. You guys work that kind of way? That's what cut my teeth. That's why I don't mind working. I really don't. I don't like when I'm not feeling good that I can't work. That drives me nuts. But I'm going to tell you something. If you never get a break in there, what happens to that soul? when I was a mud engineer, I did analysis of drilling fluids, and I would run 15 some odd rigs in the state of Texas. You guys understand that Texas is huge. That you get up in the morning at sunup, and you can drive across the state of Texas, and the sun will go down before you get out of Texas. It's that kind of big. And I had about a quarter of Texas. And the average life expectancy for a drilling fluid as an analyst, a mud engineer, was about 55 years because of the strain and whatnot. Do you understand how this works? Do you understand why it's important to have rest? I know some of you don't want to hear this, and even some of you are going to get a little antsy going through this. Let me tell you why. Because you're not used to it, and you can't see a way out from under it, and you haven't put it as a priority. Okay, we're just going to look at some things. Where did the Sabbath start from? What happened with the Israelites? How did Jesus modify it? What does it look like today? Can we handle that? You guys up for it? Okay, man, let's buckle up. Say, we're buckling up. There it is. Father God, we thank you so much for the morning and the opportunity just to come here, Lord, and to come here with great freedom and freely. We thank you, Lord, that you reframed this Sabbath not as a chore, but as a gift to us so that we can learn how to get rid of the burdens, specifically the ones that the 39 different categories that the rabbis did, Lord. Thank you that we're not there. We pray it in your name. Everybody said, hey, man. Can we get Genesis 2, 2 through 3, please? Genesis 2, 2, 3, 3. On the seventh day, which day? Pull the gain down on this, please, just a breath. Yeah, just a little bit. What happens is the gain is like a bubble. So if it's right here, it gets bigger. And so sometimes if they can't hear it, the sound guys will raise the gain. And if there's other interferences, two bubbles getting together, that's what makes that sound. Okay, how's that gain? Is it down all the way? Gain on one, you got to push the blue button. Make sure that you're there. Okay, on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation. What was he doing? Creating, wasn't he? So he rested from all of his work. Did he need to rest? No, he really didn't. But why did he rest? For us, to show that we need that time. And God blessed the seventh day and declared it what? Which means set aside. It's just set aside. There's nothing big about it. Because it was the day when he rested from all his work of creation. Can I tell you something? Let me see here. Right here, the work of creation. Did you know that creation is you? Isn't that cool? So you guys like planting plants? Yes, no, anybody is a florist? Okay, great, a few of you. Do you guys like eating animals? Okay, some of you guys like eating vegetables? Some of you guys like eating fruit? You see, all that stuff is him. Do y'all like breathing oxygen? Okay, great, because he made trees to work with you and you to work with trees and plants. Did you know a 5x5 square foot of grass will oxygenate a family of four all year long? Isn't that amazing? Did you know that when they don't plow the earth and let the roots grow down up to 15 feet, did you know that it'll extract CO2 out, carbon monoxide out of the air? And it causes it to grow. I'm like, I remember the worst time that I had seen Mount Pinatubo spewed out all that, the stuff that the environmentalists are carbon footprint stuff. It spewed that much carbon into the air. And I was going, why did it do that? Well, the plants need that. I'm like, Lord, you're so funny. So I'm going to drive my car over the grass and yee-haw. Kidding. He made you. He made you. I am so fascinated. I see some of you guys walk in. Some of you waddle in. Some of you walk in, some of you come in like this, some of you come in like that. You all walk differently. Y'all have different voice and intonation. I'm just like I do, right? And so we all have these variations, and the stuff that we've learned from one another and the people that have taught us, that's his work. You're his. I don't like that this Bible only shows this as a small C. I prefer it when I write it as a large C. It's not just anything created like a art form. It's creation, right? I love that he has modeled this rest to Adam and Eve. Do you ever think of Adam as Grandpa Adam? No? Start thinking of it like that. Do you ever think of Eve as Grandma Eve? GME? Start thinking, call her Grandma. Grandma Eve. Granddad Adam. GDA, right? Paul. It was the truest rest that came in the garden. Absolutely rest. What were their jobs when they were in the garden? Gardeners. They're caretakers, right? Adam and Eve took care of the garden. I'm choking. I'm dying up here. Somebody call a medic. You're a medic.
What's the number for 911?
Do you know what you do when you call an emergency for your dog? You dial K911. Listen, God's rest, leave this up here. When he rested, this was a privilege. It wasn't a chore. Oh, I've got to take a Sabbath. I'm sorry, but I got to use Brent and Molly on this because it was such a beautiful thing. I've talked about it a multitude of times, but when we try to get them at least every other year to take a month off and not come to church here because we don't like them. No, I'm kidding. We love them. We love them. No, because we want them to rest. We want them to go out and get refreshed. It's like not you growing the soil and letting the soil rest on the seventh year. My aunt used to do it every 3 years. Her crops were bountiful. You know, and people are like, yeah, they're on a Sabbath. What'd they do wrong? Isn't that crazy when you see, oh, the cop did something. No, he's on paid Sabbath. He's on a sabbatical, I guess we would say. We think that this is a punishment. It's not. It is a bona fide time of resting. And it's a gift. Say, Sabbath is gift. Go. Can we do equal sign? Do it like this. Sabbath is rest. Say it. Sabbath. You're not using your fingers. Sabbath equals rest. All right? We're trying to reframe that in your mind. It's not a negative discipline. It's a time that you still are doing things of the Lord. I mean, this is your Sabbath, right? Many of you, Sunday? Well, it's a work day for me. But my Monday, which is my Sabbath, is a work day for me too. Because if somebody calls and there's a need that has to happen for the things of the Lord, guess what? I'm going to do it, and I've got a good model for that. That happens to be my Savior, yours too. We're going to see that as well. Look at, do I have Deuteronomy 5, 12 through 15? Yes? Good. Thank you. Observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. You have 6 days a week for you for your ordinary work, right? Let me tell you something, little visual in. Every day is a Sabbath day because we do the extraordinary work of the Lord, right? Extraordinary, ordinary work, please. But the seventh day, a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day in your household may do any work. Sorry, I'm used to reading this way. This includes you, your sons, your daughters, your males, your female, your oxen, your donkeys, your other lives. You guys got any donkeys or anything like that? And for foreigners living among you, all male and female servants must rest as you do. Please. Please, is there another line? Okay, thank you. Remember that you were once slaves in Egypt, but the Lord your God brought you out with a strong hand and a powerful arm. That's why the Lord your God has commanded you to rest on the Sabbath. Let that float for a minute. He gave the Sabbath in the garden, fall, all the above, right? He brought the Sabbath back again for these guys coming out of Egypt. Look, it's a freedom thing, especially them coming out of Egypt. 400 years, that's 146,000 days. 60-day cycles is something like 3,500 60-day cycles. You know, it takes 40 days for you to kind of create a new habit and burn in a new habit of rest, burn in a new habit of change. They had this thing going on. It was heavy duty with this work. I hate seeing that they had to do that much work, but they broke them free of it. And he says, I'm giving you these laws. And what were the laws? The Decalogue. Say it. Decalogue. Say it again. Decalogue. You know what the Decalogue is? Deca, we get decade. Log, we get writing. 10 writings, 10 commandments, 10 C's. Same thing, Decalogue. He gives them that. You know, the first one says, you'll have no other gods before me. I'm the one that took you out of Egypt. Do you know how long when they broke from Egypt and took all the gold until they got to the writings from Moses? 2 or 3 months, right in there, about 60 days, right? You know what was happening while Moses was getting the 10 seas from the Lord? Do you know what was happening to the people? They were taking that gold jewelry and they were making what? A golden calf, right? To what? Worship. Oh my gosh. He says, get down there. Those guys are jacked up and you need to get there now. And he's already writing what they're doing. It only took 60 days for them to be done with whatever they were doing and whatever he was doing. Yet they were 400 years in bondage. You see how we can get twisted up pretty quick? We can get twisted up real quick. And that's why we've got to have our eyes on the Lord constantly. Let me show you something. Do I have the 39 laws in there? This is going to take a minute. Okay, look here. These are Sabbath laws in the time of Jesus. The Malachot had 39 prohibitions that you could not do. Go ahead. We're going to go through this as rapid as we can. Have that right finger going. Planting. Here's a description. Sowing seeds or fostering plant growth. Okay? Dropping a seed into the soil, that was a violation of the Sabbath. Any of you guys like to do plants? You can't go home and plant plants today. That's a violation. Well, what if I was eating a muffin and it had a seed on top and it fell in the ground? Violation. Right? Okay? Watch how funny these are. This is man's work. All right? Go ahead. Plowing, preparing soil for planting, dragging a stick, right, to make a furrow. Y'all know what a furrow is? It's a line in the dirt that you put the seeds in. Yeah, you knew that. A furrow. Reaping, harvesting crops or planting, picking an apple from a tree. Mary Lou and I go for a walk, and there's this really great pear tree that hangs this far over into our walk path. And Mary Lou sees these little bitty pears that are this big, and soon they're going to get this big. And she's going to what? Pick one. Oh, Sabbath, can't do that. Friday night to Saturday night, Cain happening. Sheaves, you know what sheave is? Bringing in the sheep. It's not bringing in the sheep. It's bringing in the sheaves. Sheaves are where they would hand hack and put those bundles and they tie around it, and those bundles of wheat or whatever they were taking, bringing in the sheaves. Gathering crops into bundles, tying wheat stalks together. Can't work on that Sabbath day. Well, that's all right. I'm not an agriculture guy. Hang on, we'll get to you. Threshing, separating grain from the husks, rubbing wheat to remove the kernels. Watch this. Remember when that time some of you weren't here, we brought in some wheat for you, and it was all clean wheat, but it was golden, and we had you do this and blow away the chaff, you know, and then eat the grain that's there against the law, right? Winnowing, that's where they take they'll take all the heads into like a basket, and they would try to get by where the wind was blowing, maybe by water where it was blowing up to a hill, and they would shake it and throw it up in the air and then catch all the kernels, but the chaff would blow away. Winnowing was no good, tossing grain to let the wind separate the husks. That'd be like you cracking a sunflower seed. Do you guys like the sunflower seeds already cracked? Do you like to crack them yourself? Can you do it without your hands? Keep working. Selecting, sorting desirable from undesirable items, picking bad grapes from a bowl. Last night, it would have been the Sabbath for this tradition, Mary Lou was picking through cherries. She said, when you go down to work, make sure you take this bowl of cherries and eat them. I'm not a fan of cherries, just to let you know, but I'll eat them. I had one. I puckered up like nobody's bit. Maybe she just wanted to kiss me, I don't know, But the deal of her going through and picking them out to see which were the bad ones, violation of the Sabbath. Isn't that crazy? Maybe you saw a potato that had a bad spot and you cut it out, violation of the Sabbath. Grinding, crushing items into small pieces, crushing spices with a pestle. You guys ever grind your own in a mocajete or whatever? Okay, no? Okay, however. Some of you don't know what a mocajete, that's what you drink for coconut. No, I'm kidding. Filtering fine particles from coarse ones, sifting flour through a sieve. Do you guys ever shake flour through a strainer to get the clumps out if you're baking? Against the Sabbath. Kneading, making ingredients to form dough. Making tortillas ain't happening. Mixing flour and water for bread. I don't make them. I just buy them from the store. Cooking, heating food to make it edible. Boiling water for vegetables. Some of you boil your water for veggies? Yes, no. You like boiled potatoes? Yes, no. Couldn't do that on the Sabbath. Every Sabbath, every week, right? All right, shearing, removing hair or wool from an animal. Try this one, plucking a gray hair from your head. All right, some of you folks are just now getting gray hair. Do you go like that and go, okay, it didn't happen? I understand when you pluck that gray hair, another one's coming, right? Okay, do you do that? Two more? Yeah, you pluck one, you get two. Buy one, get two free, right? None of this stuff is allowed on the Sabbath. You'd be like, well, we're having everybody over for Shabbat. And go ahead. Washing, cleaning or wool or fabric. So today be washing clothes. Scrubbing a stain from the clothes. Some of you guys wash on a Saturday wash day. You know what we try to do at our house, Monday through Thursday, we try to get all our chores done. So we have Friday, Saturday, and Sunday open. You know, so we try to condense it. Not because of this. Brushing wool into straight fibers, you know. I don't know. Anything to make some. I say in a modern, do y'all know how you get those pills on your sweater and you get that little razor and take them off? That's against the Sabbath. Violation. Go ahead. Oh, yeah, there we go. Dyeing, coloring materials. Apply dye to cloth. They would call that baptizing, a small b. So if you took a white shirt and you want to make it yellow, you dyed it in yellow dye, you'd baptize it in dye. Against the spinning, twisting fibers into thread because it didn't come on a roll. You had to twist fibers. You'd go about a quarter way up to the wool and then make a new thread. Twirling wool into thread, can't do it. You guys twirl, no? You buy it that way? Stuff it. None of that stuff's allowed. Give me V3. I'm done with it.
Sorry, guys. Test 5. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. All of that stuff not happening, right? Threading a loom for weaving. Please, the next one. Are you guys captivated by the laws? Can you imagine keeping up? This is just one example. This isn't all the other examples that are there. This is just one of many, right? Creating loops for weaving or netting, tying loops for a fishing net. I know you go to Walmart to get your fishing net, folks that fish, but that's not how it was in this day. They didn't have Walmart. They had Target. Next one. Weaving two threads together, interweaving threads for weaving, passing a thread through a loom. Try this, putting a thread through a needle. Do you guys sew your own stuff, or do you sew holes? I do. I had some gloves, beautiful leather gloves that got a hole in them, and I'm sitting there sewing them up the other day. Go ahead. Okay, thank you. Removing threads from woven material, pulling a thread from a fabric. Do you guys do that if you see a thread? You can't do that on the Sabbath. Have you got all these memorized? You got them memorized? And all the outcropping, because you'd have to have them memorized, you see. Pretty wild, huh? Okay. Tying, making a permanent knot. You couldn't tie your shoestrings. That's why they had sandals. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. Tying a rope to secure a bundle. You couldn't tie down. You couldn't put straps on anything to hold it down. You'd have to think about this. Go ahead. Undoing a permanent knot. If you got a knot in your jewelry, you couldn't. My mom used to always hand me her jewelry. Mom, can't you just hang it straight? She'd hand me this bundled mess. I think it taught me patience because I would get them undone. I'd spend about an hour untangling my. Did you guys do that for your mom at all? Did you like doing it? Did you do it for your mom anyway, though? Yeah, me too. I was her little unindentured servant, or maybe she didn't have dentures. I don't know. Joining materials with stitches, stitching to tear in a torn tunic. Do you guys sew up your own clothing? Y'all, you don't patch your own clothing? Have Connie do it? Connie does it. Okay, here's something that you probably do. Ripping material for constructive purposes. Tearing cloth for a Band-Aid. Could y'all open a Band-Aid on the Sabbath? Can't do it. What if you got hurt? You're going to bleed till tomorrow. But it hurts. Rub some dirt in it. That's where that came. No, I'm kidding. That's not where it comes from. All right, here we go. Hunting, capturing animals, setting a trap for a bird. You can't do that, right? Here, try the Costco to go get a chicken. Does that work for you a little better, Safeway? All right, go ahead. Have you got these memorized? Killing an animal for use, butchering a goat for meat. Well, can I do a bird? No, nothing, no kind of meat. All the different whatever. If you don't have it done already, guess what's happening? You ain't eating unless you lie, and then the lie police come out and get you, right? Now, this was then. That's not today, so don't get caught up on the, you littles. Please, the next one. Thank you. Removing an animal's hide, skinning a sheep for wool. So you can't sew, you can't have shoes, you know, can't be warm. No. Preserving hides for meat with salt, rubbing salt on a hide. Hold on just a minute with this one. Do you understand why they rub salt? They didn't have refrigeration. Salt preserves the meat, right? And it tastes good like that. Okay, go ahead. Thank you. Curing, treating hides for leather, soaking a hide in a tanning solution. You know, there's only you got to have some a certain amount of time for the leather once it comes off the animal to dry out. And if you cut that animal at the wrong time, you've ruined that whole leather. You may have lost your business or whatever the next thing was for taking care of your family. Are you bored with this? Okay, let's go. Oh, yeah. Smoothing a hide for leather. Let me show you something. You know, this drum, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but it's got some scratch marks on it. You see the scratch marks on that? That's a goat skin. Say it. Now, you see the scratches? Let's get all the goat junk off of there, right? You ever see these? You know what these are? Goat toenails. Ooh, you just touched something dead. Throw it around. Okay, cutting materials to specific sizes. Sorry, Connie. Trimming leather for sandals. Connie couldn't do any of her seamstress work. And by the way, thank you guys that were able to show up for her open house or grand opening. Amazing turnout from Fort Lupton the other day. Creating lasting marks or symbols. That's writing. Back then, obviously, they would have written on parchment or hide, right? You couldn't do that. You couldn't write a note on parchment. Isn't that wild? No love notes. Next one. No texting. Here, try it in today's time. No texting on the Sabbath. No looking online on the Sabbath. Are you seeing how that kind of morphs into today? Removing written marks. That'd be like scratching out a line. If you made a mistake, they didn't have white out, or in that case, it'd be tan out. You'd have to remove it. You'd have to etch it out and rewrite it. Right? None of that could happen. You couldn't backspace. You couldn't copy, select all, cut, paste. Right? Go ahead. Thank you. Building, constructing or assembling structure, stacking stones for a wall. Let me tell you something. We worked on this building on Friday night through Saturday night, Sunday after work. We'd work, get up at 7, be to work by 8, get done at 5, had our change of clothes, come down here at 6 and work till 2 or 3 in the morning, sometimes 4, drive home a half hour, get showered, go to bed, wake up in a couple hours and do it all over for about 4 months. Violation of the Sabbath. Big time. Okay, go ahead. Tearing down for construction. Can't do no demo. Right? Knocking down a wall to rebuild. Are you feeling the weight of the rules? That's why you're kind of moving around. You're seeing all the rules that are happening. You haven't lived under this. They did. Keep going. Yeah, putting out a fire. Can you imagine that? Sorry. You said you're going to be the light of the world. Burn, baby, burn. Right? Dousing out a candle. We're going to douse a camel. Oh, watch it. I just violated the Sabbath. Oh, I did now. Light lit it up. I'm not making fun. I'm just showing you what it's like, right? Starting fuel on a fire, lighting a torch. A torch is a flashlight. English call it torch. Go ahead, please. Completing or refining an object, polishing a wooden bowl. Maybe you had just enough time to get that project done for the person who conscripted you to do so, you would not be able to do it, right? Carrying, moving items between private and public domains or 4 cubits into a public domain. Carrying a basket from home to the street, you couldn't do that. Isn't that wild? Look at this. leaving food on a heat source, leaving food on a fire from before the Sabbath conditions prevent further cooking, leaving stew on a fire without covering the coals. Somebody's going to get sick, you know, or you're just going to eat fruit that day, right? Placing food back on a pre-lit heated source, reheating a coal. You can't be sticking something from leftovers in the microwave on a Sabbath. You know they want to put thermostats and governmentally watch your electrical use, right? You know that's kind of a thing. Did you know that? They're doing that in England already. Coming to a theater near you. Go ahead. Sorting mixed items unless immediately used and done by hand. Sorting lentils from the pebbles for later. You guys get a bag of beans. What's the first thing Grandma taught you? Go through the beans, pull out the gross ones, pull out the stones, right? Wash them 7,000 times and then yeehaw. Have a song later. You can't do that on the Sabbath. Handling objects with no Sabbath use, like tools or money. Moving a hammer on a table. Watch this. Watch this. Are you watching? I just violated the Sabbath. Crazy, huh? It's just crazy. Go ahead. All right. Traveling a boundary. You couldn't go more than 7/10 of a mile from your resident. You couldn't go visit your family. You know how they do it? You'll see ropes going across. The rope is tied from their house, and they'll tie it to somebody, and they'll hold on to the rope as they go on to the other house because that's considered part of the Sabbath. That's a Sabbath permit because you haven't gotten off of that rope. What happened if you got the wrong rope? Walking too far to visit a friend. On your day off, you can't go see your family. Isn't that crazy? Are you guys burdened yet? Are you feeling in the weight of that? You getting sleepy? Wake up then. Knock it off. Commerce, buying, selling, or discussing business. Negotiating a donkey's price. You can't do that. Well, I'm negotiating a horse. Well, it's the same thing. Well, I'm selling my motorcycle. Do not do it on the Sabbath. You know? Anything else? Is that it? Oh, okay. Preparing for post-Sabbath. Preparing items to use after the Sabbath. Setting out tools for Sunday. Can't happen. Got to wait till Sunday. No preparing, right? Attending services for Torah and reading prayer. Hearing a rabbi read from, let's say, Isaiah. You could hear that, but you couldn't do it yourself, right? Go ahead. Here, sharing festive meals with family or community. Family dinner? Mm-mm. Hosting a meal with bread and wine. You couldn't do it. You can't do it on the Sabbath. What's that whole Shabbat dinner? Okay, whatever. Ceasing all creative work to focus on rest. Avoiding chores like cleaning. You had to avoid chores. Now, some of you going, now there's one I like, right? Did you find one you could rest on? You could thumbtack that. Reflecting on or discussing sacred texts. Debating a Torah passage, which is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, the first five passage with friends. You can't do that. You could not discuss that. Is that it? Thank you. Everybody go, whew, on a count of three. One, two, three. Whew. That's a lot, wasn't it? Was that a lot? And a lot spelled A space lot, by the way, not A-L-O-T for you that are challenged there. Now, this is what's going on in Jesus' time. Can we get Luke 6, 1 through 5? On Sabbath day, what day is it? The day of 39 plus a billion. Jesus was walking through some grain fields, all right? You can't leave the house, right? Okay, we've got that in. Wait a minute, did you think of that or did you think of it because I said it or was it in your head? Kind of both? Well, guess what? I just pointed out now you know it. Now you're going to turn the other guy into the rabbi and they're going to get rabbi negative points or whatever. Some grain fields. His disciple broke the heads off the grain. Okay, well, you can't do anything planting, right? And they rubbed the husk in their hands. You just saw that you couldn't do that to eat the grain. Violation. There's three violations right there. Right? And, oh, by the way, there's a fourth because they're in community. God didn't create us for lack of community. Please, the next slide. But some Pharisees said, why are you breaking off the law by harvesting grain on the Sabbath? Why are you yelling on the Sabbath? Jesus replied, haven't you read in Scripture what David did when he and his companions were hungry? Right? Go ahead. He went into the house of God and broke the law by eating the sacred loaves of bread that only the priest can eat. He also gave some to his companions, his running buddies, right? please. And Jesus added, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. He dictates the terms of the Sabbath. That's the last one, right? Or is there more? Is there more? I can go more if you got more. That's it? Okay. Thank you. Do you see how even Jesus broke the Sabbath? Did that ball you up when you're starting to see those little things that were there of what you could and couldn't do? Does that kind of make you sleepy and yawn and go, OMG, I need to get out of here ASAP, LMNOP, right? You want to just get, I did too. I look at it, I'm going, God, is this thing going to ever end? And then my little pea brain, you know what it does? Every time I saw one category, I said, well, you can't do something with a donkey. And then I started going to every other critter that roams around. And then that's all exponential, you know. It drives me nuts that it's all there. And here he is walking the grain fields doing this. 39 laws and then the sub-laws of it. And you had to know them. Man, that's just too much. Mark 2:27. Do I have that? Mark 2:27. Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made to meet the needs of people and not people meet the needs of the Sabbath. He was saying, look, I give this to you as a gift. This wasn't for you to have this checklist of Christianity that you had to go through, this checklist of Judaism that you had to go through. This was meant for you to have rest your body. And still, you can still do the work of the Lord. Just rest from your work and think about me, right? Think about the Lord. He did that on Thursday. I love when Pastor Brent brought up one time how the Passover meal was kind of on Mandate Thursday, was spoken to kind of change that to the bread that we're breaking is doing remembrance of him. We don't do a Seder meal. Are we opposed to it? No, but we just don't do that. It's not our culture. You know, barely our culture to do communion on Sunday. In fact, most churches do not do communion on Sunday, save our brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. That Sabbath, can you put that back up there? Thank you. That Sabbath was made for the people. It infuriated the leaders that change would happen. I don't know if it was a power struggle or what the deal is, but this rule was set for you to rest. And some of you may already know that. Look here on Acts 20:7. On the first day of the week, we gathered with the local believers. And the first day of the week would have been Sunday because that got reinstituted then. And it's not necessarily our Sabbath. It's what day we gather. I'll show you why here in a minute. With the local believers to share in the Lord's Supper. So every time they gathered, they share. Pretty much every time we gather, we share, right? Paul was preaching to them, and since he was leaving the next day, he kept talking up till midnight. Mary, now you see where I get it from. Paul was a blabbermouth for the Lord. Are you a blabbermouth for Jesus? You know? Don't be bored with the Lord, ever. Don't ever be. He wasn't bored with you. They broke bread, and they kept doing this stuff in remembrance, right? I love seeing these examples. Romans 14:5-6. Romans 14:5-6. In the same way, some think one day more holy than another, while other thinks every day is alike. You should each be fully convinced that whichever day you choose is acceptable. Please. Those who worship the Lord on a special day do it to honor him. Those who eat any kind of food do so to honor the Lord, since they give thanks to God before eating. Do you guys pray before you eat? Because if not, you might as well put your food in a dog bowl and get there on the ground. That's what I used to tell my grandsons. They put the cheeseburger or the pizza, and I put your food on the floor. Put your food on the floor. If you're not going to thank the Lord, if you can't even thank the Lord for your food, then you need to sit on the ground with the dog and eat it, the food. And those who refuse to eat certain foods also want to please the Lord and give thanks to the Lord. What he's saying is, it's up to you. Don't get caught up. I mean, they had certain foods that they could and couldn't eat. We're not held to that binding. Now, there are foods that are going to damage your body, right? High fructose corn syrup, is that going to hurt your body? Yeah, it's kind of remade, you know. But how about eating sweet corn? Do you guys eat sweet Olathe corn? Do y'all like that? No? Yes? However, it's there. Yeah. I want to show you something. We're going to read a fair amount of scripture. Do I have all of Colossians? Just the book? Yeah, book. Should be chapter 2, right? Okay. Okay, thank you. I want you to know how much I have agonized for you. This is Paul. And for the church in Laodicea. So you have Colossia, Laodicea, and Hierapolis, right? Kind of mountain towns and valley towns. Hierapolis was up on the north hillside. It had a lot of sulfur. And it had the mines are still there, not mines, but the water is still there, still sulfurized. Down in the bottom is Laodicea and had the real brackish water. So you had hot mineral water, brackish water, and then Colossae was up on a hill. The church was about 15 to 20 people, 12 to 20 people. They had the freshest water ever, right? So he's lamenting over that for Laodicea. For many believers who have never met me personally, go ahead with me. Don't wait for me. I want them to be encouraged and knit together by strong ties of love. I want them to have complete confidence that they understand God's mysterious plan, which is Christ himself. In him lie all the hidden treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I'm telling you this so that no one will deceive you with well-crafted discussions or arguments. For though I am far away from you, my heart is with you, and I rejoice that you are living as you should. And that your faith in Christ is what? Strong. And now, just as you accept Christ as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Still hold right there. Did you notice? It's not, I got baptized, and now I'm done, and I'm good. It ain't that way. You live your life to eternity for the Lord. Okay? Please. Thank you. Let your roots grow down into him. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? And let your lives be built on him. Roots, construction. Right? Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that comes from what? Human thinking. Get rid of the G, add an apostrophe. Human thinking. And from the spiritual powers of this world rather than Christ. If you're listening to this other garbage, that's on you. Don't do it. He's showing you this, right? For in Christ all the fullness of God in a human body, so you are also are complete through your union with Christ, who's the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed spiritual circumcision, cutting away your sinful nature. He cut it away. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized. You catch this? You kind of want to know why baptism is? Right there. You were buried with Christ when you were baptized. And with him you were raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. He forgave what? All what? Say it together. 1, 2, 3. Perfect. Next. He canceled the record of the charges against us. Did you hear the word canceled? You're acquitted. Nothing. Gone. And took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed spiritual rulers and authorities. That's how it got unhooked from you. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Thank you. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink. Dude, we don't have food disorientations here. You can eat whatever you want, but they had food restrictions then. For not celebrating certain holy days. Don't get all bound up over that. Or for new moon ceremonies. I have no idea what that is, and I'm okay that I don't. And or, what's that last word? Don't get bound up over it. Wait a minute. I thought we had to keep the Sabbath holy. That was the rules for them because they were in 400 years of lack of knowledge and that God's showing his heart. Love God, love people, don't covet any of that stuff, right? For these rules are only shadows of the reality of to come, and Christ himself is that reality. He is your Sabbath. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial, although this is the Essenes. The Essenes would take ropes or chains and fling and flay their bodies and to beat themselves into some type of perceived holiness, or the self-denial or the worship of angels saying they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud. and they are not connected to Christ. How do you know they're not connected to Christ? Because you're connected to him. You can spot the liar. The head of the body, for he holds the whole body together, its joints and ligament as it grows, as God nourishes it, and we all are that body. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. He has set you free from the captivity, right? So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle this, don't taste that, don't touch? Yeah, well, we don't want to have kids touching fire, but there we go. Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but instead of that, they provide no help in the conquering a person's evil desire. Can I go to Colossians 3, please? And since you have been raised, thank you, to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of this earth. Look, when he came and took all of that stuff and unhooked you from the trailer of sin and the towing of the such, right? All of that's gone. Now guess what? Just put your mind on Christ. Well, I'm having a rough patch. Put your mind on Christ. Well, that person doesn't like me. Put your mind on Christ. Well, how's that going to help? Have you put your mind on Christ? No. Start there. But there's no but. Put your mind on Christ. For you died in his life, and the real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed, the whole world will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful, earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality. Have nothing to do with impurity. Have nothing to do with lust. Have nothing to do with evil desires. Do you know what that means, have nothing to do with them? It means have nothing to do with them. If you see it, run. If you see it, flee. One of my pastors along the way told me that, no, you can't mechanically do this. I don't know. It says have nothing to do with it. If he says have nothing to do with it, I think he meant that. You know, don't be greedy. You guys greedy for stuff? Greedy for love? Greedy for attention? Greedy for money? Greedy for toys? Greedy for your way? Maybe you eat first instead of the rest of your family? You know? For a greedy person is an idolater. You know what the idol is? Self. Right? Worshipping the things of this world. We don't do this. We don't worship the created. We worship the creator. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But, and instead, now, looking forward, is the time to get rid of anger. What do you got to be angry with? What the hell is going on with that? Oh, that is hell. Okay, gotcha. Rage. She ate my Cheerio spoon last one. What? Malice behavior. Slander. You're going to talk bad about somebody? You know, I was talking with Brent earlier today, and I don't remember what the topic was, but it had to do with kind of a somebody picking on somebody else, right? And when you come into my house, right by the door is the thing by Teddy Roosevelt that talks about the man in the arena. Bottom line is you got a lot of people on the sidelines poking fun. I'll give you my example. Did you get a new haircut? You don't look like a pastor. You're using a table, not a pulpit. You dress in flip-flops. And, well, you wear long pants, not shorts. You know, whatever it may be, you get all of this stuff, right? But are you in the arena taking the bruises, sweating on your brow? Then why are you poking fun at somebody else? Now, that is a paraphrase. I wish I had it. I should have had it up here for you with that Teddy Roosevelt quote, because I think it's just brilliant. Is it scriptural? No, but it's intended in that sense. Slander. And what's that last one? Oh. Yeah, that son of a toothpick. But if I said the other B word in my heart, did I still say it? I did. Thank you. You said that with an exclamation point. I did. You know something? Do you know why you get angered and cuss? You know, well, you know when you step in dog poop, you said, what's the word you say? It's not dog poop. You use the S word in your heart. I don't know. That's probably how the name came. I don't know. But if it happened in your heart, it happened, right? I'm sorry, but that's what it is. I remember my baptizing, we drove down to my granddaughter's aunt's place from married side, and they had 6,000 acres there in the river that's been running through that before, even Mexico, obviously. And we had our grandson who was just a little bitty dauber, you know, and he just thought meadow muffins were something else. You guys know what a meadow muffin is? Cow pie? Okay, there we go. Meadow muffin. And they were dried. And, you know, when they're dried and they're thick and they're hard, you know, they're a Frisbee, right? So we're down there. We put pallets on the side of the mud, the river, because it's really muddy there. And we mowed all around so you could walk down and get my granddaughter baptized. And so she's getting baptized. We're baptizing my granddaughter. And all of a sudden, that little fella, he throws a meadow muffin in the water and breaks apart, and it floats right past her. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just exactly what happens. God takes all of that from us, and we come out clean. No idea why that came in. Dirty language. You know what? Guys, let me tell you something. Vulgarity is the absence of vocabulary. It just is. If you have this propensity for filth in your mouth, it's because you have a propensity for filth in your heart, and you've allowed things to come into your life that just needs to stop. Well, are you being legalistic? No, he says it right there. You know, because you're with Christ, you shouldn't have that. Well, what if I get mad? Well, say, that just stirs my Kool-Aid. Can you do that? No? You know, I still have some words I use. You know, I don't want to say that me off. I'm moving back. That just ticks me off. I don't know what a tick and it being off is, but it does tick me off. Next, please. Don't lie to each other. Mary Lou and I first got together. I said, don't bat your eyes at me and ask for something. It don't work with me. It just doesn't work with me. And I said, don't ask me to tell you the truth. Does this thing make my look big? Yeah, it kind of does. I don't think you should wear that. And you know what they teach guys? Oh, no, that's third rail. You know, don't touch that one. You ask the question. I'm not going to lie to you. You're going to walk around and, you know, make your bohiney look big. That's okay. But I'm going to say, if you don't want your bohiney to look big, then don't ask me that. And if you have a big bohiney, that's how God made you. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. All that stuff's gone. You don't have to go there. And I don't know where they come up with the word bohiney either. Put on your new nature. This is the part I like. Put on your new nature, right? And be renewed as you learn to know your Creator. I want you to really stop and look at this, because this is where the Sabbath is. This is where the Sabbath is. And be put on your new nature. Read it with me. And be renewed as you stop here. Learn. This is a life's journey. Learn. Go ahead. To know your Creator. And what? I don't think God's going to be saying some of the words you say. I don't think he's going to be angered the way you're angry. He has righteous anger against sin, right? Please. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Isn't that cool? Did you know the premise is in the new life, it doesn't matter. Have you looked around the room? Did you notice we're not all the same? Look around. Look around. We're not all the same. We're similar. We got eyes, nose, mouth. But we're not exact. We're not cookie cutter. Circumcised or uncircumcised? Barbaric or uncivilized? Ooh. Slave or free? Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. Do you understand that's where the Sabbath lies? When no longer do you see people, but just people. They're just humans. That's why I get the best view of the whole house. You guys only look at me. I get to see y'all. And I get to see this. I get to see amazing beauty. I just do. And when you see people with the eyes of the Lord, when you see people with the eyes of the Lord, you see strength. You see dynamic. You see somebody thought enough about you to make you this way. Please. Since God chose you to be the holy people, he loves you. You must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercies, right? That means you don't want to have your own way. Mercy means not giving them what you think they deserve. And with kindness, because you're of his kind. With humility, and that's a coat you need to wear regularly. With gentleness and patience, and understand their processes, and they need to be revisited constantly, right? Please. We're almost done here. Make an allowance for each other. You know what that doesn't mean? Give me cash. Give people a little room. Let me ask you, have you come in here being ticked off at me and you know you want to use the P word instead? Have you ever come in and been mad at me for something? Or maybe you walked out on me because I said something to you? It's okay if you say yes. It's okay if you MF'd me in your heart. You know, it doesn't bother me. Excuse me. It just doesn't bother me. Why? Because I'm going to seek first to understand. I just don't want you to be hung up, right? Give an allowance for each other. Give people some room to grow and be human. You know, allow people to speak into your life. Allow you to speak in their lives. It's a good thing. And forgive anyone who offends you. You know, remember, the Lord forgave you. So what? Oh, I'm glad we didn't stop there. He forgave you. What does it say? So, go ahead and say it together. 1, 2, 3. So you must forgive others. And I like the word for. That means ahead of time. Please. Above all, clothe yourself with love. That binds us all together in perfect harmony. Is there anything else? And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. I like that part. Let the message of Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms. Sing hymns. So psalms are adorations to the Lord. These are high and holy songs. You know what these are? Spiritual songs. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom. Power and love, our God is in us. But do you know the rest of the song? No, you don't. You only know the chorus. You only want to hear the rest of it. It's kind of hard to sing. Doesn't meter well. All songs go with God, thankful hearts. Lastly, and whatever you do or say, do it as your representative of the Lord, giving thanks through him to God the Father. It all anchors in thankfulness. Humility will come out. Do you understand now what the Sabbath looks like? It's Christ. You remember all the rules? Remember the beginning, the fall? You remember the 400 years of bondage and then freedom, and they were building the golden calf? You remember the 39 laws and all their little stringings? You remember how busy that was? Would you like to get back to that garden rest? Delete all of that in the middle and just put on and clothe from the inside out that which is the Lord, and you will truly have what the Sabbath was intended to be. Every single day of the week, where, as Paul said, don't be worrying about your Sabbaths and your moon festivals and where you're going to rodeo with Dave on his birthday. Right? Just put on Christ. That may tweak some of our folks that are a little more tight to the vine on having that holy day. Find your holy day and stick to it. If it's Saturday from Friday evening to Saturday evening, dude, I don't care. So when you come on Sunday, it won't be a work day for you, right? It doesn't bother me. If you choose to have your Sabbath Thursday night, great. Thursday, great. You know, my Sabbath is really daily. Because you know what? When you do the work of the Lord, and Jesus did the work of the Lord on the Sabbath, didn't he? He healed people on the Sabbath. He didn't say, oh, sorry, you're going to be paralyzed for one more day. I'll be back tonight. 6:01, boop. Oh, you're walking now, bro, great. No, bro. Because he said, which one of you, talking to the rabbinicals, when you had a critter caught in a bar ditch, wouldn't work hard to get it out? A ditch. Yeah, model that rest. What step can you take this week to be more like Christ in your rest? I want to encourage you. I want you to start, hold up one finger. We always know that points to Christ, yeah? I want you to encourage you to make 1% change. You can put your hand up. 1% change this today. Tomorrow when you get up, just 1%. Just make a change. 1%. I'm not talking 360%. I'm not talking to you. Just 1% change. 1 out of 100%, if you like whole numbers. Just make one change, 1% change. Maybe I'm going to not care about something that I've been putting on my heart. Maybe I'm just going to love that person for one minute because I've been hating them for 17 days. I'm going to love them for 1 minute, just 1%. You know, and whatever the blank he has, not the blank as in cuss word, whatever the blank that he has for you to do, meaning fill in the blank, right? We're free from legalism. We're called to rest in Christ and to break any modern enslavement that we may have set for ourselves, right? You may want to consider creating a God goal sheet. You know, and it's okay to have a goal. It's okay to write it down. It's okay for you to get up in the morning, listen. It's okay for you to get up in the morning and write down a couple of things you'd like to do for the day. You guys all have checklists, right? You're going to brush your teeth? Thank you. You're going to go to work this day? Thank you. Right? It's okay for you to have a God goal sheet. You know what? I want to get 1% better in just listening to him today. Can I give you the one that's probably going to anchor you the greatest? I'm going to be more thankful by 1% today. And by the way, when I get up Monday, I want to be 1% more thankful. Amen? What did God show you? What did you see? What did you hear? Briefly. Debbie. You saw the freedom that was expressed. Some of you need structure in your life. Please put structure in your life. Some of you are hyper-structuralized. Please drop some of the boundaries on that. Go ahead, Barb. Real loud. Mm-hmm. Pretty wild, huh? Shehehe. So explain that best way. Explain it Shea way. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine having to tie a rope from there down to the 7-Eleven? Where are you going? I got to get some Mentos. Whatever. What's that? Go ahead. Yeah, absolutely. Did you guys catch all that? Perfect. You know, it's easier than it is. There's responsibility. I mean, you saw it. He said, clothe yourself. Learn more of God. Be more like him. Clothe yourself in that. You have to be anchored in him because I got to tell you something. The closer you are with him, not legalistically, the desire is to be with him through the Sabbath rest of him. And you know something? When the hard times come, they're not quite as bad. A way simple thing. We've said it a couple of times. Brent came out one day and he said, Dave, at the end of service, somebody slashed your tires. And Connie's mom, Bev, who usually sits in the back, she was just, oh, I can't believe somebody slashed a pastor's tires or something like that. It was just hilarious. And I'm just like kind of walking out. Brent acknowledged that I was super calm about it. I'm like, as I'm walking over there, I'm like, well, Lord, if I got my tires slashed, you're going to need to get me some tires. So I walk out there, and there's 4 8.5 by 11 of the guitarist slash, you know, with his little hat. And he just loved it. And I looked at it, and I was like, ha. I don't know if it came out that way, but in my heart, it was like, ha. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not, yeah, and that's not even my era, but I knew who the dude was. So, all right. You guys, hey, real quick, you're lovely. Remember that. You're lovely because the Lord is lovely, right? Amen? All right, now somebody give each other a hug and make this all sappy. Father God, we thank you for the day. We thank you for all of it. We just thank you for, Father, thank you for the whole thing. Thank you for the whole thing and nothing but the thing. In your name, Jesus. Everybody said, amen. Hey, guys online, we'll catch you next time. Everybody say, we love you online.